This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. How are you doing today, Ben?
Groovy, dude.
Today we're talking about your article called Define Redefinition, which appears in the Chicago Reader on September 2nd, 2010. And this profiles a particular Chicago public school teacher who was dismissed by the school, and you use that dismissal to expose how Chicago Public Schools has dismissed a large number of teachers, over 1,000 this past summer, and why it might be a bad thing. Let's first talk about the Board of Education's resolution that they made on June 16th, which gave the head of Chicago Public Schools, Ron Huberman, authority to terminate a lot of teachers, and most of them were tenured, apparently. And it did that to them without what the Chicago Teachers Union calls due process. From what I've read about this, it seems to be in clear violation of the board's contract with the union. Is that your
take on
it?
Yeah, that's correct. At the heart of it is a contractual issue.
And in fact, the union filed suit.
Yes.
August 2nd.
Yeah.
In a suit that addresses just this very thing. And if our listeners want to read the suit, they can go to the description of this broadcast at mrradio.org, and there's a link there to it. So how can the Board of Ed authorize a contract violation? It sort of boggles the mind.
Well, it's like everything else in this town. Mayor Daley's representatives, there's delegates, that's who they are, can do whatever they want until someone tells them they can't do it. In this case, it'll take a federal judge to tell them that, no, sorry, you have a contract with the teachers, you can't violate the contract. Then they'll have to hire those teachers back or try to force the union to make some kind of compromise, which I don't think the union will make. My prediction is that they'll have to hire these teachers back because it is a clear violation of a contract.
It seems to me, you know, we can't read their minds, right? But it seems rather obvious that the union would not take that lying down, that the board was letting itself in for a legal battle.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about either the hubris or the ignorance of a body in doing something.
Well,
like
that's standard operating procedure with Huberman, and you probably know this better than I do because you've been studying the CTA, his tenure there at the CTA with employees. Essentially, what Ron Huberman has done since he's taken over, he's declared his intention to sort of turn the Board of Education and its thousands and thousands of employees into an extension of City Hall, in which they're like patronage employees who are not even Shackman exempt, who are controlled essentially by him or his office or his delegates. So one way to do that is to declare a financial emergency, whether one exists or not, or to one certain degree of how much it exists, and use that financial emergency, as he's done in this case, as an excuse to fire hundreds of employees. In this case, I think it's 1,300, in violation of the union contract. And he probably thought that the Chicago Teachers Union was vulnerable because there's a newly elected president, Karen Lewis, who has no previous experience dealing with these sort of high-stakes, high-profile negotiations. And so far, Karen Lewis has proven to be far more resilient than I think Huberman would have predicted, and she hasn't blinked. So filing that suit was an important counterstep. I think this is important on several levels. I don't believe it does anybody, in the terms of the public good, to have teachers so vulnerable to the whims of politicians like Mayor Daley or their right-hand men, their henchmen like Ron Huberman. I think that puts us in sort of a dangerous situation. I'd like teachers to have a little more freedom and a little more liberty. I don't think they should be patronage employees. I don't think patronage employees should be patronage employees for that matter. And there's a whole reason why we have the category of Shackman exempt, and we've had all these lawsuits going back to the 70s to try to dismantle this sort of patronage control.
Unfortunately, that protocol does not apply to Chicago Public Schools. They were not party to that original lawsuit, and therefore are not under federal court monitoring for such protections.
That's correct. I think what we're seeing, particularly with the emergence of the charters, is a way to avoid bans on patronage hiring. I think the charters are themselves sort of patronage operations in a way, because they're completely dependent on Mayor Daley for their existence. And so their teachers are largely not unionized. If they are unionized, they can't be a member of the Chicago Teacher Union by state law, which I find an incredible violation of their rights. I think we've gone too far in the opposite direction. There are those who say, well, teacher unions protect incompetent teachers, and so therefore you have to give more liberty to the executives, meaning the principals, I suppose, to be able to fire incompetent teachers. And while I agree with that as a principle, I don't think you should just give politicians a free hand just to fire without rhyme or reason any teacher they want to fire, because for one hand, perfectly good teachers like Sunny, the woman I profile in my piece, get thrown out of positions. On the other hand, it just undercuts the confidence of teachers. It makes them feel vulnerable.
Where exactly in the system do you think the decisions to fire individual teachers, where is it taking place? Do you think it's taking place, you know, like a woman like Sunny or any of her peers? Is it being made at the principal level? Is it being made at the central office level? Who do you think is looking and saying, yeah, you know, this one, you know,
yeah,
this is...
That's a great question, and I don't really know the answer to it. By and large, everyone will tell you, everyone being Huberman's assistants, well, these are decisions being made by the principals. So, you know, you have to talk to individual principals in a school-by-school situation. I'm not sure I believe that. I think that there's been direction given to the principals by the central office in terms of getting rid of teachers who are older, make more money, and have at least 3 years on the job. The key is that after 3 years on a job, a principal has to give a teacher tenure or get rid of that teacher. And if you give a teacher tenure, that means they have due process rights that protect them from being just fired, as they did to Sunny and 1,300 other teachers. So I think that there are directives going to principals. And then in some cases, it could be a matter of principal wanting to hire cronies who are dependent on her or him.
It's interesting, if such directives are going out, that implies some kind of, I hate to use the word, but conspiracy. It's one thing to have a central office plan to try to cut expenses by eliminating tenured and more highly paid teachers, and B, try to have a more malleable workforce by having, you know, people with less experience. But it's another thing to then send that plan out to your lower level managers, namely the principals, yeah, and say, all right, this is our secret plan. Go implement it.
Well, I don't know if they ever feel compelled to use the word secret plan.
And, no, that's my term.
Yeah. But, you know, the whole thing about a conspiracy is that it's such a loaded term. I don't like to use it because the larger public just usually dismisses it because it's just got all these extraneous meanings, like we're all nutcases. But it's clear to me that Ron Huberman has a plan. And his plan is to move as many teachers as possible out from under the protection of the Chicago Teachers Union so that they are more controllable and they are cheaper. Also, it's obvious to me that there's a growing movement toward charters, for better or for worse, usually worse in my opinion, because I don't believe it serves the larger interests of the Chicago public students to go to schools that are controlled or political outposts. I just don't think that's a healthy thing. So it's pretty obvious to me that there is a plan. And how many people are aboard or how sophisticated it is something I have to look into. But it's obvious to me that this is the blueprint for education in Chicago in this Huberman / Daley era.
And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it.
Yes, sir.
Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to The Rest of the Story with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for more interviews or subscribe to our podcast.
Please do.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.